Today on the podcast, we're going to hear about an upcoming AHEA conference that will have some great presentations all about Hungarian things, and it's free to attend. Stay tuned for all the details. Hi, welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Vas. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, language, and share stories from our guests. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll explore Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll introduce you to some fun people and organizations who love their Hungarian heritage and share some great resources with you so you can get connected to your Hungarian heritage in a deeper way. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Szabó-Vas. And if you are new to our podcast, welcome. And if you've listened before, welcome back. We're glad you're here. Today, Dr. Clara Pup is going to talk with us about the American Hungarian Educator Association's conference coming up April 7th through 9th. It's the 46th annual conference. How exciting. Welcome back, Clara.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Liz, and the opportunity to speak to you about our upcoming conference, which some may consider an online crash course in Hungarian studies.
Okay. So let's talk about the main aim of the American Hungarian Educators Association. And I know we've discussed this in a previous episode of the podcast, and I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes. But can you recap this just a little bit, Clara, so people get an idea of what the organization's about? And then I love this idea of the crash course, because I would say that's a great description of this.
So the American Hungarian Educators Association, or AHEA for short, is a professional and scholarly organization consisting of academics who teach at universities in the United States and some even in the Carpathian Basin and around the globe, who are devoted to teaching and disseminating Hungarian culture. So this includes a diverse group of topics: history, folklore, literature, language, fine arts, music, and we even have science and economic topics involved. So I love the diversity of the disciplines involved and people who join because of their shared common interest in Hungarian studies.
Yes. And so there's this conference each year that allows that research to be presented to the attendees.
That's right. This year, as you said, we are preparing our 46th annual conference and are very excited in putting together the program now.
Okay. And what I love about this conference is that, while it may have an academic focus, one doesn't have to be an educator, or even they don't even have to be Hungarian to appreciate what is being studied and discussed. And, you know, as a regular person with a strong interest in Hungarian things due to my ancestry, I love the variety of presentations. And it's great to hear about the current research that's out there, you know, ongoing. And, you know, I've attended several conferences in the past, and they're great in person. And while I am disappointed that it's virtual again this year, it does open up the conversations and the presentations to a much wider audience, you know, all around the world, really, who might not otherwise be able to attend this conference. And there's no fees for the attender, which I think is pretty amazing. And I do want to make just a little plug here for the organization. I do suggest that people support AHEA by becoming a member. And there will be a link in the show notes on how to do exactly that. Now, Clara, let's just talk a little bit about, how did the conference go last year? Because it was the first time being virtual. And did you feel like it ran pretty smoothly? How was attendance? How did that go?
So before I answer your question, Liz, let me divert a little bit.
You bet.
You call yourself a regular person, and I consider you extraordinary with passion and commitment to your heritage. I applaud you, and you're right. There would be lots of topics at this meeting that you and others who have a passion for their Hungarian heritage will similarly find informative and interesting. And it's a fun activity to attend, even online.
Yes.
But to answer your question, AHEO's board was truly pleased with the success of last year's conference. The three-day conference was hosted entirely online. We had about 70 presentations altogether from scholars around the globe, from Hungary, the United States, Canada, Romania, India, and a number of other countries. Registrants included over 200 people who had lots of opportunities to engage with the speakers. And so we were impressed because this really exceeded the participation and attendance that our usual in-person conferences have.
Well, and, you know, I can understand that because, you know, when it's an in-person at a certain location, you know, there's extra fees that go with that. And so, you know, even though I've been to several in-person conferences and they are super fun, and but this just really opens it up quite a bit for people, you know, from like India or, you know, like you were saying, from wherever you are, to be able to touch base. And, you know, even if there was only one topic that interested you, you know, that you could come in and just do that one thing. But I really feel like once you start looking at the abstracts and you hear, well, when we talk a little bit about what some of the presentations are here today, I think people will definitely find more than just one that they would be interested in.
I agree with you. And I think that it is quite accessible being online. Mm-hmm. And the attendance is really very simple. So people can come in and out depending upon what it is they find that is of interest to them.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. So let's talk about a few of the presentations that are scheduled this year. I just picked a few because what is the total number that are scheduled? Do you have an idea about
that? We have approximately 70 presentations.
Again. Okay. Yeah. So we're just going to talk about maybe about five of them just to give people a little flavor of what some of the topics will be. I'll just let you kind of give the title and then a few sentences and then we'll kind of go through that way.
Well, this is one topic that caught my eye, as well as yours, is titled, Where is Home? And this is a presentation that Dr. Kathleen Pintz will give. This is her doctorate in American Studies at the Eötvös Loránd Tudomány Egyetem in Budapest. And her study involves a very interesting recent phenomenon of people who were raised in the United States who decide to return to Hungary for an indefinite period of time. These are what she calls returnees, people who left their homeland with the idea that some way and some time after political climate changes, they're going to return. So she interviewed a number of these people and will present her findings on how did it go for them? What was it like to move from living in the United States to moving back to Hungary? And did their ethnic identity change? How do they feel about being Hungarian or American in Hungary? Uh-huh. And this topic very nicely fits into the scholarly literature on diasporic return migrants and should be a fascinating presentation.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah.
So good.
And then there's another one in the topic of history, medical status of 1956 Hungarian refugees. This is by a doctoral candidate at the University of Pécs, Zsolt Máté, where he writes about there were almost 200,000 Hungarian people who left Hungary in 1956. And if you think about the 1950s, this is a time when polio and smallpox were diseases that were rampant in the world. And people were very concerned about catching these infectious diseases with serious ramifications. So he talks about the health status of Hungarian refugees, how the countries accepting them reckoned with their medical condition, how they were identified, screened, and what kind of mitigating factors were implemented to control the spread of these dangerous viruses. And what we learned from this that we are even using today, and this is such a timely topic, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this research then, is it for the refugees that left and came to the U.S. or just left Hungary in general?
He examined a number of databases. One is in Austria and the other in the United States. Camp Kilmer was a place that had about 30,000 refugees accepted. And he looked at the records there to as part of this presentation. So this should be a very interesting original research paper that is presented.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. All right, any others that you...
Yes, so Stephen Kovach is a filmmaker and professor emeritus of film at San Francisco State University. And he is going to do a first view of Hungarian plays that were adapted into American films. There were a number of successful people in the arts who left Hungary after the Second World War and moved to Hollywood. And according to Stephen Kovach, they are not very well celebrated in American film. And so he takes three of these films that became very successful American films, László Aladár's A Becsületes Megtaláló, that became Trouble in Paradise, Illatszertár, Miklós László, became The Shop Around the Corner, and László Busch Fekete, Születésnap, was the basis for Heaven Can Wait. All of these directed by the legendary film director Ernst Lubitsch, and this will be the first time that a comparison of Hungarian plays with their American film counterparts will be presented. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I heard him talk at last year's conference, and he's a very entertaining presenter.
He is, and I also heard him last year, and I've been trying to pay more attention to Hungarian directors or writers that their films have become actually adapted, you know, like, so The Shop Around a Corner, that's one I've known about for a really long time. But just recently I read about The Heaven Can Wait. And I think I read about it in the abstract and I was like, really? Heaven Can Wait? That too? So, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, of course there's Hungarians everywhere. And so, you know, I was like, I just thought that was interesting. So I think I'm sure this will be another interesting presentation by him because last year's was really
good. Yeah, last year's was terrific. And of course, the theme of the conference this year is COVID, Hungarian studies in the COVID-19 world. And so we have a few presentations also on the pandemic and the influence of the pandemic on communities in Hungary. And one is by Dora Pál Kovács. She will describe the impact of the pandemic on intangible cultural heritage in Hungary. So what is intangible cultural heritage? Well, it's a term that refers to all of those things that are oral traditions or customs or behaviors of a community that pulls them together and unifies them, provides them with a shared identity and a sense of continuity across generations. So it's an essential practice that exists orally, folk traditions, folk songs, folk stories, and these are all living traditions so that it changes as the world around you changes. Mm-hmm. And so this will be to a very interesting study to see how the pandemic affected these communities and how they responded and overcame some of the restrictions that were imposed as a result.
Okay. Yes, that will be interesting as well. Sounds good. Okay.
So the next one I'm really interested in hearing is by Miklós Molnár, who is an entrepreneur who taught at the University of Economics before founding one of the first and most successful English language schools in Budapest. And his topic is on Learning Hungarian Can Be Fun, the story of Fungarian. And his lecture will focus on what first-time visitors from America find strange in Hungary, or what causes culture shock for them. And to do this, he analyzed more than 200 TripAdvisor reviews that they have submitted. And he aims at providing an alternative way to motivate people to learn Hungarian and to appreciate Hungarian culture. So this is a really interesting thing because, having grown up as a Hungarian, I'm really intrigued by what it is about Hungary that Americans find interesting and fascinating. And I know for me, there are plenty of things, but I can't say that I'm looking at it from an American perspective. So I'm really intrigued to find out what he will say during this talk.
Yeah, it'll be fun, you know, because he definitely has this first person's look, you know, as they're looking at Hungary from another perspective and how he takes that and explains it. So that'll be interesting. And he's a pretty nice guy. And I think he's got a good sense of humor. So I'm sure it'll also be informative, but entertaining. So I'm looking forward to that too. So quick question. And I know, I don't think I asked you about this before, but are all of the presentations in English, most of them in English? How does that work?
Yes, that's a great question. There are some, the official language of the organization is English and Hungarian. And so we do accept some abstracts that are Hungarian, but there are always the majority, I would say more than 95% are presented in English.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. I just remember it was rare that I would stumble into a Hungarian presentation, and you know, my Hungarian is not that good for that. But, you know, if somebody really wants to practice their Hungarian, they could also listen to a presentation in Hungarian and sharpen their skills. So that's not a bad thing either. So let's just go over how people can attend the conference. Do they have to be a member of the organization? That kind of stuff.
So people can go to our website, which is ahea.net. All the presentations are listed, and they are really interesting to peruse. The program is being finalized and will also appear on our website. You go to the left-hand side of it, under conferences, there's a 2022 conference, and there's a link to all the abstracts and a link to register. Okay. One does not need to be a member of the organization to register and attend the conference, as you said earlier. We would love to have their support, which enables us to further our mission. Besides our annual conference, we also publish an online scholarly peer-reviewed journal. There is lots going on, and support for conference registrants who value our activities means very much, not just financially, but also moral support for our work as well. Annual membership dues are $30. So just think, paying membership dues, one can be in the know and receive regular newsletters and updates about our activities throughout the year.
And, you know, that's a pretty reasonable cost. So I think I don't know that you could probably spend $30 doing anything much better than that. You know, that's a pretty good thing there. So I would encourage people to consider doing that. If for nothing else, just as a way to support the organization and as a thank you for the conference too, because, you know, the conference, while it is free for attendees, it is not free in the sense that it costs money to pull this off. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of technology.
Yeah, and no question about that. People spend a lot of time on the program committee organizing and scheduling and setting things up to make sure that everything works smoothly. So I agree with you. There's a lot of cost. It's a labor of love.
For sure. And I, for one, totally appreciate it. We will make sure that we have the link to the abstracts, conference registration, those kinds of things, the website in the show notes. And so you said there was about 70 presentations scheduled, and this year, do you know offhand where some of the presenters are coming from besides US and Hungary?
Yes, the majority are from the United States and Hungary. We have representation from countries in the Carpathian Basin, as well as from Canada and India as well.
Okay. Okay, well, good. And the dates of the conference again, April 7th through 9th?
April 7th through 9th. Yes, 3 days, totally online on Zoom.
Okay.
And when one registers, one receives the Zoom link that is this identical link for all 3 days.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay. So we'll have all those links that we talked about. We'll put those in the show notes and the AHEA website. You guys have a Facebook page too?
Yes, we do. We have a Facebook page, and we'd be delighted if people would find us and like us.
Okay. Well, I should hope they would. Well, Clara, thank you so much for talking with us about AHEA and the upcoming conference. I'm super excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it. It's always just a good dump of information on Hungary, you know, that we haven't been able to travel there now for a couple of years. And so for me, it's just a, it's such a great opportunity to just kind of soak in Hungarian things, you know, from literature to the film things to the language things. And I know that there'll be some music things. So it sounds like there'll be a lot of good stuff.
It'll be a lot of fun. And Liz, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you about this and very much look forward to seeing you at the conference and your husband as well.
Yep. We'll be there. We'll be
You're very loyal participants, and we look forward to welcoming you there and also members of your podcast audience.
Awesome. Well, great. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. Please spread the word and share this podcast with those you know who love to learn about their Hungarian heritage. Want to learn Hungarian or learn how to cook Hungarian food? We've got you covered. Check out all our class offerings as well as meaningful books and gifts at thehungarianstore.com. Special thanks to Stephen Chichek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast, please share it with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.